The internet. What a wonderful invention. Or as Homer Simpson might say, is that thing still around? Well, it is. The internet is here to stay. And just think how it has made, for example, instant gratification possible. For example, with one click of a button, we can buy the latest video game, download a album that we like, purchase a new pair of shoes, purchase a new suit, dress, buy a car online, buy a vacation package online, all on the internet. And even faster than buying a product online, we can also share our personal opinions in just an instant. Anyone who uses social media shares images and articles that reveal opinions about politics, marriage, dating, raising children, many other facets of life. People share things on all different kinds of topics. Social media can be a good way to have a laugh sometimes, to encourage others, or to discuss current issues. However, many times social media posts turn out to be very rude and at times very mean-spirited. All of that happens. As Christians, we ought to be careful and thoughtful in posting, liking articles, memes, because it all says something about us. It tells the world something about us. To read a couple of quotes, psychologist Michael Kaczynski's research has shown that your likes on Facebook, for example, can tell a lot about what kind of person you are. He argues that likes give a Facebook picture of who you really are. Commenting about that study, a gentleman named Sam Gosling, a psychologist at the University of Texas in Austin, said, "You like something, you leave a comment on somebody's wall, they are now recorded in a way that machines can calibrate and measure them with great accuracy. Together, they add up substantially more information from which you can make quite reasonably accurate predictions." They tell a lot about the individual. Facebook spokesman Fred Wallens agrees. He said, "No matter the vehicle for information, a bumper sticker, a yard sign, logos on clothing, or other data found online, it has already been proven that it is possible for social scientists to draw conclusions about personal attributes based on these characteristics." Social media is made up of a variety of platforms that allow people to interact with other people in a virtual world. They can interact with people all over the world on various social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Why is it even an issue to stop and think about or discuss in a message on the Sabbath? Why should we even stop and think about that? Well, for one, nearly 60% of the world's population uses social media. Most here do in one form or another. Some may not at all, but most here do in one form or another use a social media platform. But what are the spiritual implications for God's people about social media? Because as Christians, do we need to be careful and thoughtful in what we post, in liking various articles and memes? Do we need to give that some consideration because it says something about us? Social media, it's not an enemy at all, but it's kind of a frontier that we need to stop and think about and be sure we understand. So I want to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media. And I've taken this from a presentation that Mr. Kylo gave during a continuing education class for all the ministry several months ago that was titled that very thing, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Social Media. So I developed this message from what he gave to all of us. Let's look then, the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media, and then consider what we can do as Christians to be sure that we're letting our light shine on those social media platforms that we do use. First of all, the good. I've just bullet pointed some of the good things about social media. Increased connectivity. We can stay in touch with relatives, with friends. We have a daughter and son-in-law and four granddaughters who live in Idaho, or almost in Idaho. They're in Spokane Valley. And the only way we're able to stay in touch with them on a regular basis is through Zoom calls or Skype, social media. You know, we use with them just to be able to communicate and see those girls as they're growing up. So there is increased connectivity with relatives, friends, no matter how scattered around the world we may be. We stay in touch with brethren that we met in India, in Sri Lanka, in Singapore. We stay in touch with brethren in all over the world. And there is that very positive benefit. How about educational resources? There's just a vast amount of information that's available right at our fingertips that we can do research quickly and easily and find answers and solutions to all kinds of things. Home repair issues, car repair issues, all kinds of things, just a vast amount of information available. For those in business, it's great for marketing. As far as marketing their business, they can reach customers easily via social media. And it does provide an increased awareness of important issues in life, current event issues, different points of view about those issues. We learn a lot about those things by browsing the news, for example, on social media. Also, you could say it promotes creativity. It can promote creativity in writing, in art, photography, sharing a lot of ideas. So there are some good things about social media. What about the bad? We've all probably read or heard about incidents of, for example, cyberbullying, bullying young people, you know, via Facebook or Twitter, you know, cyberbullying young people from other young people in school, horrible stories of middle school and high school students being bullied, you know, cyberbullying, that goes on. About spreading misinformation, that happens on social media. There is the potential for addiction. People become addicted to social media, spending many hours just browsing social media, or the loss of privacy, because there's a lot of personal data that is collected as we are active on social media, a lot of personal data that gets collected. And, you know, you do a search on one subject, and within seconds, you've got advertisements for four related products for that thing you've just looked up. You know, and you find that you lose a certain amount of privacy. Some people willingly or voluntarily overshare and give up their privacy with the things they share about themselves, their family, their activities. And they overshare and just end up giving up privacy that way. There is online harassment that happens as well. And there is some potential exposure to some very bad things, some of the bad about social media. What about the ugly? Things that go beyond the bad, but are just downright ugly. Well, on social media, there is the potential for radicalization, being radicalized into movements or extremist groups. That can happen through social media. People really get hooked on those things and become totally radicalized about a certain point of view. There are online predators that need to be sure that our children aren't being exposed to those. Political manipulation, using misinformation, disinformation, campaigns to spread falsehoods about other candidates, by other candidates, that has happened and that continues to happen. How about mental health issues? From comparing themselves, people read about the wonderful lives that others are leading, and why can't I have that? Well, how come my life isn't like that? And it can be discouraging. It can cause a level of depression. Why is my life so unhappy when everybody else seems to be so happy? Look at all the pictures they post about what they've been doing and how successful and happy they are. And it creates some issues for people. How about doom scrolling? You're probably familiar with the term doom scrolling. People who spend many hours reading a lot of negative information, just scrolling down and down negative information about how bad everything is. And all they do is read the negative and becoming very negative in their own outlook. It's called doom scrolling. People just get, that's what they get wrapped up in. That's what they spend most of their time doing. Or even unleashing the worst of human nature. Because social media allows people to speak their mind without accountability. They say things in a social media platform that they would never say to someone face to face. And yet they say things without any accountability at all and cause problems that way. Also, it can provide an echo chamber. And what I mean by that is people of like minds focus on and share what they think, and this reinforces what they think in the first place because others they're sharing with have the same opinions, and it's kind of an echo chamber. They reinforce their opinions, whatever those may be. So that's just a listing of some of the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media. Again, why should we be concerned? Well, for one, social media issues does involve and affect church members of all ages, children, teens, young adults, adults, older adults. Social media involves church members at all ages, and it affects us, it can, mentally, spiritually as well. This issue has caused division among brethren sometimes because they have very opposite opinions about a social issue and share that on social media and get into a conflict with one another. Some brethren have really gotten involved in the cares of this life via social media, and I'll give a few examples a little bit later. It also can make our children vulnerable if we're not careful, and it has impacted some relationships among brethren in the church. I've seen them. You may have seen some of them too. Angry posts by members about something that another member has said or believes. Politics gets discussed probably more than ever before, and some members unfriend other members over political issues. That has happened as well. And sometimes information gets passed on via social media that carelessly, it may not be true, turns out not to be true, but yet it's been passed on as though it was true. That has happened as well. And sometimes it has led to one person judging another person's faith based on what they believe, what they've said about a social issue. Well, where's your faith? And they end up judging another person for that. Is that really what God wants to see among brethren? We know it's not. And it's something, again, for us to think about. But there are three areas of things we can do. Three areas of things we can do and should do as we operate in the world of social media for those who do. Number one, we need to be sure that we have established certain spiritual principles. That we have established certain spiritual principles. Because ultimately, we are responsible for our behavior, whether in person or online. Either way, we're still responsible for our behavior. We represent ourselves, but we also represent the church. Our name is the Church of God. So we represent God. We represent the church. And it's important that we don't behave one way in one area of our life, very different in another area of our life when we get on social media. Let me just give you one example. We believe we shouldn't vote, and we have biblical reason for doing that. So we don't. We don't vote. But some brethren fill social media with political opinion. However, we believe we're to remove ourselves from politics and political activities in person and online. So why can we say, well, we don't vote, but on social media we get very involved politically? Should we do that? Well, I don't believe we should. Just one example. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23 and 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 23 and 24, Paul exhorted Timothy to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. Scripture teaches us to avoid quarreling. That includes social media quarrels and disputes, that we simply don't want to be involved in things that create dispute and quarreling, oftentimes foolish disputes. A good advice from Paul to Timothy and to us as well. If we want to focus our social media presence after Jesus Christ, which I assume we all would want to how would he handle this situation? How would he post on social media? What would he do? Well, I think he instructs us in Matthew chapter 6. As far as our focus, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. One of those memory verses that many of you have memorized years ago, where Christ said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So we have to be sure we really remain focused primarily on the coming kingdom of God and how that is going to solve man's problems. Today's politics, for example, often promote a variety of conspiracies and criticisms of political leaders on this side and political leaders on that side. We're told to focus on God's kingdom because man is not capable in solving our major problems, no matter who's in power. Man simply cannot. So why enter into foolish disputes and quarrels, on social media platforms when our focus is to be the kingdom of God that God will send through Jesus Christ? Proverbs also, I believe, addresses many social media issues. Let's look at just a small sampling. You can find many more, but Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13, what does this tell us? Where it says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." In other words, is it important to be sure we have the whole story? Do we have all the facts when we're liking or putting something out there? Do we really have all the facts? Have we gotten the whole story? I think verse 13 gives us some very good advice about that. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verses 17 and 18. How does this apply? "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death." Sometimes people bait one another into a dispute or into an argument by jumping in on something, into a dispute or a quarrel or a discussion that ends up stirring up an argument or getting involved in the arguments of other people. And, well, here's my 2 cents worth, and it just inflames things even more. The proverb seems to say avoid doing those kinds of things, baiting people, stirring up arguments, to be careful about that. Then Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 9. Proverbs 29, verse 9. "If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace." If a wise man contends with a foolish man. Now, in conjunction with that, go back to chapter 9, verse 8. Proverbs 9, verse 8. And there is this advice. "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." So again, we need to be selective and careful about what we enter into, the kind of discussion online that we enter into, to be careful about those things. Be selective. Make sure that we're not again, just stirring up, baiting people, causing more of an argument than there has been, and just jumping into something that is a foolish quarrel. So number one, establish spiritual principles. These are a few, and you can find more in the book of Proverbs as well. Number two, guard ourselves from spiritual potholes. Guard ourselves from spiritual potholes. What are some spiritual potholes that social media can be involved in? Well, here's one. How about being impulsive, lacking self-control, and reacting? Being impulsive, lacking self-control, and reacting. When we're on social media, we do need to have some kind of filter in place as to how we respond to various things that are posted, and to try to remember that we are accountable to God and to others for what we post. We are accountable to God and to others ultimately for what we post. So we do need to be careful. Self-control is a fruit of God's Spirit instead of just reacting. Well, I don't like that. And we just, you know, have to give an instant, immediate response to it. Do we? Should we? James 1, verse 19, gives us this advice. James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Some good advice about not just reacting to something we see on social media that has, you know, gotten us mad or heated, and we just give an immediate response that, you know, doesn't show self-control or just a reaction. We're told to be careful about that. Be slow to wrath. Titus 3 and verse 9. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 9, there is this statement. Similar to what we read back in Timothy, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Avoid foolish disputes. So that's one pothole that we need to be careful about in removing ourselves from spiritual potholes. One is not being impulsive, not lacking self-control and just reacting. A second spiritual pothole, and this one is, Proverbs is all over this one. Gossip, rumor, and slander. That could be a spiritual pothole. Gossip, rumor, and slander. Just read a few of those Proverbs that exhort us about this in Proverbs 16, verse 28, for example. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Where it says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Gossip, rumor, slander can do that. And it happens on social media. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Another reminder, Proverbs 20 verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Again, gossip, rumor, slander can be involved in that as well. And we have that warning. Then Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. We want to be sure that we're not the talebearer that keeps the fire burning of foolish disputes and arguments. We want to be careful that we're not involved in this pothole of gossip, rumor, and slander. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 11, Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 11. Just an interesting statement where it says, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The babbler is no different. Sometimes, again, people say things that have a mean bite or spirit to them. Try this experiment I did recently. If you Google, just Google, why are Christians so, and dot, 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 see what comes up. The number one thing that comes up is mean. Why are Christians so mean? Why would that be? It's an interesting exercise. Just try it sometime. The number one answer was mean. We need to be cautious and not quick to believe just the things we agree with and want to believe. We are to be asking God for discernment because we want to be people of truth. We want to be sure that we're not dabbling in gossip, rumor, and slander. So there's that pothole. Another pothole. How about the pothole of simply wasting time? That can be a pothole on social media as well. Wasting time. Ephesians 5 and verses 15 and 16. I think you're all familiar with this. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, meaning how we live, how we walk through life. We go through life carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, using our time wisely. When it comes to social media, if it's a problem for us, set limits, making sure that we're not just spending, you know, hours after hours on social media. Set limits. Be careful that we're not wasting time. So that is a pothole. Another pothole, and this one relates to the previous one, that is simply addictive behavior. I think we realize that social media is designed to capture and hold attention. It's designed that way. People who are professionals in this field design social media in such a way so that it does capture attention. It will feed you what it thinks you like. As you establish certain browsing habits, as we do that, it knows more and more about what we like, what we don't like. And it will feed more and more of what we like. It knows those things. And so Colossians 4 and verse 5 echoes what we just read in Ephesians. Colossians 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. There it is again. Time management, being careful about that. So these are a few potholes to guard ourselves from. So secondly, guard ourselves from spiritual potholes. And the last one does not apply to many here other than maybe as grandparents, because most in this room don't currently have children, although some do or will. But what about even our grandchildren? And this third thing that we can do and that is important to do, and that is simply guard our children. Guard our children. As parents, even as grandparents, it's good to educate ourselves a bit about social media, to be aware, to educate our children, if we have children, about the pros, the cons, the good, the dangers, that we make sure that they understand what those things are. I think parents should set restrictions, monitor privacy settings, and pay attention to how much time their children are spending on social media. And to be aware and knowledgeable and involved about how our children receive information online, how they're getting their information online, and what sites they're going to. So as parents, that means establishing clear rules and boundaries, not just turning children loose, but establishing clear rules and boundaries, what sites they can go to, what they can post, what they cannot post, what they should, what they shouldn't post. That we have certain rules about those things, and then we monitor their activities online. But I think probably the most powerful thing that we as parents, even grandparents, can do is to be a positive role model. In showing proper use of time, for example, and that we, you know, during meal times, we set the phone aside. Nobody, you know, is on social media at the table while dinner is going on. We set an example that there are certain priorities. So there is a well-known meme that has made its way around social media. And I think its message is important for Christians to remember. And it's based on the letters T-H-I-N-K, the word think. And what those letters stand for when it comes to post, the meme says, think before you post. Is it true? Question mark. Is it helpful? Question mark. Is it inspiring? Question mark. Is it necessary? Question mark. And is it kind? Question mark. Think before you post. Yes, we're human beings. We all want people to like us. We all want people to like our likes and to like what we like. And, you know, we all want to get along, but we especially want God to like us. We love God. We want God to love us and to love our conduct. And if we want God to love us, which we do, we should be doing what he likes, what God most likes. And to ask ourselves some of these questions as we deal with social media. Social media is a tool. Of itself, it's not wrong or right. It depends on how it's used. So when we think about the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media, it's important to set godly standards, and it's important that we keep God and his kingdom first in our mind in what we do on social media.